everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and we're back with the second part of today's It's All About Food, just for you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for caring. Please, thank you so much. It just inspires me so much that there are other people out on this planet, even though we may be small in number, that care about the planet, people, other living beings that we share this earth with. Thank you for that. I just wanted to quickly tell you, if you are in the New York area, I found that address where Victoria Moran will be speaking tomorrow night about her new book, The Good Karma Diet, and it'll be at 2289 Broadway at 82nd Street in Manhattan, and that's at 7 p.m. tomorrow at, I think it's at Barnes & Noble. Yeah, 2289 Broadway. See you there. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is tonight, yes, tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and other times all around the world, we are hosting a plant-powered and thriving six-week online course. And by we, I mean myself and John and Ocean Robbins. Now, this is the second time we're giving a six-week online course. The first time was early, towards the end of last year, and I just enjoyed this event so much. I know that I was part of the teaching portion of it, but I got so much out of it. I learned so much from it. We all learn from each other. There's a great back and forth between all the participants, and it's a lovely, lovely experience. So it starts this evening. If you're interested in checking it out, go to healthy.foodrevolution.org/join. J-O-I-N, healthy.foodrevolution.org/join. And if you can't make it tonight but you're still interested, I would check it out because all the courses will be archived so you can listen to them at your convenience. And there's so much more in terms of resources that you get when you join. I can't wait. So that's tonight. Very good. Let's talk about nutrition for some of our favorite friends. I've got Laura Simonson, and she's a woman on a mission from dog, cherishing all things dog so much she was given the handle the Dogess. Professionally, Laura has been described as the intersection where business meets soul. For over 27 years, her diverse experience, including successful careers in natural health and plant-based diet coaching, fitness training specialist, keynote speaking, personal development, course development, event planning, marketing, sales, in real estate and corporate, all kinds of things. And today she's a social entrepreneur and founder of Indogo Plant-Powered Dogs, modern vegan family, Don't Forget Fido blog and online community, and most recently a co-organizer of the new Vegan Vancouver. She also champions and supports vegan businesses and organizations whose bottom lines are steeped in social or spiritual evolution and is on a peace-filled mission to disrupt the ordinary average status quo through plant-powered living and inspiration for all. Wow, that's one big, lovely mouthful. Laura, welcome to It's All About Food.
Karen, that's fun. Thank you.
Oh, it sounds like you're having fun, and I really appreciate that because you have to have a sense of humor if you're going to survive in this world.
You really do. You really do. And it's not hard with having dogs as part of it, right?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. I am not a person who lives with companion animals. Mm-hmm. Number one, I'm in a building that doesn't allow it, even though there are some people that have them here and they're not supposed to. But people are like that. They don't like following the rules. But I do respect all living beings, and dogs are wonderful, and there are many wonderful stories about them, and we could learn so much from dogs. We can learn so much from so many other non-human animal species.
Yes, absolutely. And dogs have been actually my best teachers. Really, any animal in my entire life, it's always been, I've learned so many valuable lessons from, living and watching, with them and experiencing life through their eyes as much as I possibly can, which really brought me to this, which is to for all of us to really, you know, as you're talking about John and Ocean Robbins, and John Robbins' book was the reason why I did the major change in the late 80s to a plant-based diet. And he's also, you know, one of the reasons why I chose to start looking at a plant-based diet for my dog when I got her. And so it really is about plant-powered foods for dogs. Why, you know, it's a huge, huge problem in our world. We're also feeding these animals, other animals. And just like us humans, they don't need other animals to survive.
I know a lot of people get upset by this. Well, people get upset by a lot of things that they don't understand. And so there's still a large amount of people that believe that humans need to eat other animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that believe that dogs need to eat some sort of animal protein and get certain other nutrients from animals. But what I like to say is we do not live in a natural world.
Mm-hmm.
Things are very different than they used to be. And dogs were not made to be, you know, living in our homes.
Right. Well, they certainly have walked with us. You know, if we look at the evolution of man, dog has evolved with us.
Yeah.
They have been our closest companion. And, you know, there's theories and even a study that was done a couple of years ago sharing that dogs, they have evolved in their digestion somewhat in their ability to digest and use starch. So it's interesting, you know, that should they be in our homes? Well, that's a big philosophical question, isn't it? If they have been living with us for all of these centuries, you know, will people stop now? Not likely. You know, what can we do that as we do co-inhabitate together and make a difference together, what can we do? How can we live a peace-filled life together? And so that's definitely our mission. And that's something that I hold near and dear as being the reason why, when I use the word disrupt, and I mean it, the only way we can make change is to disrupt what has been accepted as ordinary. And it's no longer acceptable to say a little Bichon can take down a cow. You know, they don't. They're not interested in that. Dogs are absolutely omnivore. They are considered non-obligate carnivores, and there are, as we know, plant foods contain all of the nutrients and the proteins that we require for nutrition, and that is the same for dogs. And that's why we're setting out to prove it, though. You know, Karen, we can talk about, with regards to dogs, we don't have the studies. We have all of the great plant-based studies for humans, but we don't have them for dogs yet, and that's our mission, is to prove it scientifically so that people can make these beautiful choices for their animals as they do for themselves.
I want to talk more about that, but I'm just thinking about how classic a scenario this is. So my understanding is we have done all kinds of tests on animals when it comes to drugs and and how their physical body moves, and it's supposedly helped treat humans, but I understand that veterinarians know how to treat animals better because so many tests have been done on them, but we haven't done any tests on nutrition, and why should we?
The good news is veterinarians are definitely, their schooling and education is more steeped in nutrition than our doctor's education is. And so this is the interesting part. As we started this, Karen, we didn't know the response that we would have from veterinarians that were pro-vegan. Mm. And we're just getting daily responses now. And I've been researching this for years. They weren't necessarily online. So now the movement has started because of the plant-based world growing at such a great rate that the pro-vegan and vegan veterinarians, there's many of them that we didn't know about. And now they're contacting us and they're saying, I want to be involved. What can I do? How can I be a part of this movement? We've never seen this research before.
Wow, that's great. So tell me, what are you doing? What is this plant-powered dogs Indogo project?
Thank you. And I wanted to say the term, and we're looking at how do we get the Indiegogo concept. It's the name is called Indago.
Yeah.
So there's a dog in it, right? So
yeah.
We're going, you know, we're going, it's a neat name, but, and yet sometimes we do have that, the mispronunciation of it. But Indago is, we started this, Karen, I started researching in the late 80s, and about 4 or 5 years ago, I was in Whole Foods here in Vancouver, and I was walking down the pet food aisle, and I had it's almost like a lightning bolt, threw me of energy and said, oh my goodness. Because I had been feeding my dog Shanti, since, of course, when I picked her, she was a vegan pup, and I knew that for the 13 years that I had her, that we would continue that. She's about 6 years old or so, and I'm standing in this Whole Foods aisle going, my goodness, you know, it's missing. There's something missing here. And that's when it really did start. We began to, have conversations with vegan vet professionals and other people that felt that there was a real, there's a void in the market for really plant-based and also science-based foods, because again, nothing had ever been proven. What we made a choice to do, rather than just say we're going to come out with a product and we're going to say, hey, we got this great product and everybody, you know, please come and join, which many would. What we felt was most important was to do similar to what I would say Tesla is doing and other companies, where we started as a social initiative, which give everybody the access to what the feeding trials will produce, the formulations, the supplements that are going to be used in the trial, and let everybody use them. So we will offer them to everybody. And the veterinarians are going to be giving all of their recommendations, even up and above the original protocols that were developed about 3 years ago with Cal Poly in California. They developed a small trial where they proved whole foods. This was a meat-based trial. Made a tremendous difference with at-home feeding trials. And so we decided that we're going to take those protocols to another level and prove that dogs do thrive on plant-based foods. That's the nutshell, the summary, you know, in short, but it's basically how we got here.
Great. Wow. So if people want to know more about it, they can go to indogolife.com.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. And that's IND like dog, OG like George, OLIF like Frank, E.com. Indogo. Indago.
Indago.
I want
awesome.
To say Indogo, but Indago. Okay. So what, I'm just going to jump to the finish. We know we're going to find out that dogs are going to be healthier eating a well-balanced plant diet.
I fully believe that, Karen. I'm with you.
And it's also better for the environment.
Absolutely, without question.
And it'll give people one less excuse to support their animal habit of eating animals.
Absolutely. And that's what we felt. It's not, for us, it's not around necessarily just the dog's health. It's also around that, you know, say Melanie Joy in her conversation with regards to carnism. When we actually prove scientifically a few times, this is only going to be the first trial, that a carnivore, considered to be a carnivore, doesn't require animal products. I really believe we ask ourselves then, that deep philosophical question, do I need animals, right? So we feel this is really going to the heart of it, and where all of us can feel that, wow, I don't think if I can feed my dog this and my dog's thriving, why would I? So this is much more than just a dog food idea. This really is a whole movement towards how can we look at carnism straight in the eye and say, We can overcome that.
And I think it's important, as we mentioned before, the dog has evolved with the human, mm-hmm. and has become domesticated. We're not talking about animals in the wild. We're talking about dogs that we are taking care of, we're protecting to some degree, we are encouraging them to reproduce, and there's nothing really natural going on here. They wouldn't be here if it wasn't for humans.
Right, right.
Not in this form, and so there's nothing wrong with wanting them to eat foods that we have discovered are the healthiest for them, but also the best for the planet.
Yes.
That happen to be different than what they were eating.
Yes.
Sometime and, before.
Yes, and they have evolved. And you know, if we were to think about it, Karen, most, you know, decades ago, we didn't hear of our relatives. Like I had farming relatives. They didn't feed their dogs meat.
Mm.
And wealthy people, you know, maybe, but for most people, in the civilized, you know, worlds that we have our animal companions and pets then would have been called more pets, of course, is they didn't get fed the best meat in the house. They didn't get fed a raw meat diet. They would have got the leftovers. They would have got the soup bone after it was used in the soup. And, so when we really think about it, the dog food industry is what has perpetuated our belief that a dog food was needed.
Oh, of course.
Right? That is meat-based. It was Dr. Ballard's, really, right? It would have been years ago in those days when the industry went, whoa, we got some leftover dog body parts here that we can put in dog foods.
This is just one small piece of this crazy economic platform that we are in today, which is capitalism. And everybody believes that we have to continue to grow in order to keep the economy alive, and we have to figure out ways to profit from things, and that means recreating something from something else, and it's totally contaminated our food system for humans and for animals.
Absolutely. It's similar to the story of stuff, if we were to think through that, right? So if we were to go through the story of stuff with regards to dog food, really, it started for an economic reason. It didn't start for the need. We could have continued to feed our dogs the beautiful scraps, if you will, the great food that was from the table. And for the most part, that was potatoes and carrots, you know, things that were the cheaper root vegetables and things like that, which is how they've shown why dogs have, they are showing that they can digest starch more than what we ever thought.
I'm smiling to myself now. As I said before, you have to have a sense of humor if you're going to survive in this crazy world. So you were mentioning that somebody decided to take the garbage that humans weren't eating and feed those unwanted parts to dogs. Okay, they don't only do that to non-human animals. They do that to humans, too. I'm thinking of like whey protein, for example. So pull the whey out of milk for certain kinds of products, and they're left with all these whey solids. So they came up with these high protein powders.
Yes. Yes. And you know, the other one that really has been, it was a real impact when I first started to research and realized we're busy rescuing animals. We're rescuing dogs, for instance.
Hmm.
And what we do is we then have that beautiful animal, we bring them to our home, and we feed them dog food that perhaps, because this is the truth in the regular dog food industry, the rendering plants are filled with dead rescued animals or dead shelter animals or any other roadkill has been rendered and turned into dog food. It's a profound thought when we think, my goodness, I'm feeding my rescued dog a dead dog that's been euthanized. And it's you know, when we think how deep, when we really go deep into the story of this, there's a lot behind it. And that when we, if we really think about what are we rescuing? Why are we rescuing this way? Why have, if we really stop to think, we could rescue ourselves and our world by simply stopping the crazies of eating plant, you know, animal-based foods.
Everything. I'm thinking about when people will tease each other, kids, for example, and saying, oh, here's some dog food, you know, will you eat this? And the reaction is, ew, it's dog food. And, you know, we should say, ooh, it's dog food because of all the crap that's in it. But if your research discovers that dogs do well on plants, well, then we can pretty much eat the same food, right?
We're looking forward to doing school tours in our production facility, right? We can have children and dogs as part of the process that's never been done before.
Do your dogs, I don't know how many you have, do you have one or more?
You know, Karen, I unfortunately lost ours last year, so I don't have one right now.
Oh, okay. Well, the dogs that you have they had some favorite plant-based recipes?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the easiest one, the one ingredient, my dog was a freak about broccoli stalks. She could not eat enough broccoli stalks. And we certainly knew we didn't OD her on broccoli stalks, but that was her favorite, and it's such a great food for dogs.
And did she like it raw or cooked?
Oh, raw. They love it raw. It's like bone. I call it broccoli bone.
That is genius because so often most of us don't really want to do anything with the broccoli stalk. So you throw it to your dog.
We've been researching, Karen, because the broccoli stalk actually has more vitamin C than the florets do.
Wow.
Here we are giving away the stock, but yeah, they love that. And there certainly are great. Most vegetables are really great for dogs. Greens and the only thing that they are to avoid certainly are things like onions and garlic in large amounts. It's not. There's a lot of misinformation with some of the foods for dogs, but they can't have grapes. They can't have there's certain foods that obviously dogs can't, but. They thrive beautifully and they love plant foods, and certainly when you put them together with, beautiful beans or lentils and hemp foods and zucchinis and spinach and carrots, and you put this together for dogs, they absolutely love it.
So do you think people should be making their own food for dogs, or after all this research comes out, do you think they'll be bagged plant-based dog foods that you'll recommend?
Absolutely. And the thing is right now we're not able to. Like people have asked, they ask me consistently, what do you recommend? And I go, until we prove it, it's out of integrity to recommend anything aside from cooking foods at home and using the best balanced supplement that you can find for that food. There certainly are some good vegan vets that are sharing good ideas and supplementation, so I would recommend, anybody have a question, please send it to me, and I'll send it out to our panel and ask them for different ideas. Until we do prove it out, at that point, we will definitely be recommending cook this at home. Get the supplement and cook it at home. And then from there, our intention is to have dehydrated foods so that people anywhere can get these foods and just add water to them and have their dogs enjoy beautiful food.
Wow. Thank you. I love hearing about this, and please keep in touch and let's find out what you learn.
Thank you. I look forward to sharing the good news with you for sure. And good luck with your new program with Ocean and John Robbins. It's very exciting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, Laura, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food with Plant-Powered Dogs and Indogo.
All right.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, look, here we are. It's the end of another hour. And now I have to go back to work. Thanks for listening. Thanks for caring. Like I said before, it really means so much to me. Send me an email at info@realmeals.org if you have something to share or say. I love to hear from you. And remember, have a delicious week.